So we are in John chapter 11 today, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 44. The title of the message is The Death of Lazarus. By way of introduction, in this chapter there's the story of a man named Lazarus who died and whom Jesus raised from the dead. Jesus was close friends with Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. So when Lazarus became sick, his sisters sent word to the Lord to come and heal him. So starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." And this is recorded in the Bible in John chapter 12 and verse 3, but that's what it's referencing, where the Bible says, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." So Mary and Martha were good friends with Jesus as well as Lazarus. And remember, it had been Mary and Martha. Mary had sat at Jesus' feet and wanted to fellowship with him while Martha was going and preparing all these things in the house. And that's where we get the expression "Lazy Mary" from. That's where that comes from. And so Martha complained to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm trying to get dinner ready, and she's just sitting there." And the Lord said, "Well, Mary's chosen the better part right now, and I'm not going to take it away from her." So Mary loved the Lord and worshiped him, and the whole family loved the Lord, and the Lord loved them. "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he did not do what we would expect him to do. We would expect Jesus to go immediately to help Lazarus. He's sick. His friend is sick. They've sent him word. He should go immediately and help him. But that's not what he does. Instead, he stayed where he was for 2 days. Because of this delay, Lazarus died before Jesus arrived. So prior to telling us that Jesus waited 2 days to go and visit Lazarus, the Bible says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And now we'll look at verses 5 through 19. So verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." So it's important to understand, and that's why the Bible says it, that Jesus loved them. He waited for 2 days, but he still loves them. He allowed Lazarus to die, but Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And the truth is that God loves you too. God loves you when you're healthy, and God loves you when you're sick. God loves you when you're successful and financially secure, and God loves you when you go broke. God still loves you. God loves you when things are going well, and God loves you when things are going bad. God loves you when your marriage is filled with love and happiness, but when the tragedy of divorce visits your home, Jesus loves you still. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die, but he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. "Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again." Now, Judea was the place where Jesus had been, where we've studied previously, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of them wanted to stone him. You know, we talked about last week how these people, they always had stones nearby. I don't know if they carried rocks with them like we carry guns, or if they just, they picked up rocks. There were rocks laying everywhere. But they were ready to stone him and kill him, and they had a plot to kill him. And so Jesus is going back to Judea. His disciples saying to him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." Now, both Jesus and the Son are referred to here as the light of the world. People literally didn't stumble because the Son lit their path. And the disciples would not stumble, nor would Jesus be put to death before his time, because he is the light of the world, and it was not time for darkness, but for light. There was a time for darkness coming, but at that time it was a time for light. So Jesus was not going to stumble, and it wouldn't be dangerous for the disciples to go. So he's trying to teach them a lesson. And you know, we're indestructible in the will of God. If God wants us in a place, like if he wants Robbie to get to Paraguay, he's going to send him to Paraguay. He's going to keep him safe. He's going to make sure he gets there, and that he's going to be able to carry out that work that he's called him to do there. And, you know, when his time is done, his time will be done. And that's the way that God works. God protects us to do the work he has us to do. And so Jesus was telling them it's going to be safe. But he says in verse 10, if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And John Gill says, so our Lord suggests that when the time of his death was come, he should then fall a prey into the hands of his enemies. But till then, he should walk safe and secure. Nor had he anything to fear from them, and therefore they could go into Judea again. So darkness was coming, but not now. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Because they knew he'd been sick, so they said, if he sleeps, he's doing well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, Thomas was doubting Thomas. He was a doubter. And so the disciples all were talking, and they said, look, it's dangerous for us to go there. And Jesus talked to them about light and darkness, and he talked about not stumbling. And so he says, look, Lazarus is dead, let's go to Judea. And Thomas, you know, we see both faith and doubt here, because Thomas says, let's go with him. But he says, well, let's go that we may die with him. Now, some think he's talking about Lazarus there. Let us go that we may die with him. We're talking about mourning with him. But probably he just thinks that Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about, and he thinks they're going to die when they get there. So let's be faithful. Let's go and die with him. So you see both doubt and faith at the same time, and it's interesting. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, so that's about 2 miles. So it would have been easy for Jesus to have gotten there in time to heal Lazarus if he had chosen to do so. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So now we're going to skip down to verses 35 and 36, and then we'll come back. The purpose of skipping those verses is not because it's good exposition, but it's because that's the way the outline goes. So that's where we're going. So the second thing is Jesus wept in verses 35 through 36. Now, verse 35, of course, Jesus wept. This is the first verse that many little children learn in Sunday school. And it's short but profound. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." Now see, God doesn't just say that he loves us, but he proves his love to us. Jesus wept. After the September 11th terrorist attacks in 2001, I was listening to a Messianic Jewish minister talking on the radio. And he said that people had asked him, where was God when the terrorists flew the planes into the World Trade Center towers? And he said that he responded by saying that God was there weeping. And I believe he was, and he weeps with us today. Jesus cares. He doesn't just say that he cares, he really does care. And Jesus proved that he cared by dying for us on the cross. That's why the Bible says, "For God so loved the world," or "God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God doesn't just say he loves us, he proves he loves us by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. And so, Jesus came and wept, and the Jews said, "Behold how he loved him." Now, the third thing we see going back to verse 20 is, "I am the resurrection and the life," verses 20 through 34. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Now, we don't know why Mary stayed in the house. We don't know if it was because she didn't know that Jesus was coming and Martha was just a person of action, so she jumps up and goes. Or we don't know if Mary was hurt. Mary had been close to Jesus, worshiped Jesus, loved Jesus, and she and Martha had sent and asked Jesus to come and heal their brother, and Jesus didn't come. He let him die, and then he came. And so, like a lot of us, she probably got hurt by that. I mean, I've been angry at God before because of the way things went. I'm sure you probably have too. Some people get bitter at God because they think that God's... I mean, for years, after my father died and his company collapsed in the recession and we lost most everything we had, I don't know if you can say I was bitter, but I was certainly hurt for a long time because I always felt like God had a purpose for me and that he wanted me to do something and that he had used me in these marvelous ways. I had traveled all over the world and I'd been able to preach and do all these wonderful things. And now I was sitting in church, working with children, as you pointed out, not able to do anything, really, and not able to pastor, not able to go back to the mission field. I was just sitting there, and my marriage was also falling apart. I was having a lot of problems between April and myself. And I was thinking, you know, is this what it's come to? Has God abandoned me? That's the way I felt for years. God's abandoned me. Interestingly, what began to turn things around is I watched a movie. You wouldn't believe that, but I watched a movie, and the plot of the movie, something just happened in my head, and God began to speak to me and to say, and I know that sounds carnal because God's supposed to speak to you through the Bible, but this was a movie I watched, okay? So God spoke to me, and he began to say, you know, basically, look, I got a purpose for your life. I've got a plan. I haven't left you. It was actually a Christian movie, and the whole plot of it was that the person thought that God had abandoned them, but it was actually they that changed towards God. And so that's what I realized, is that I quit trusting God. I quit trying to step out in faith and follow God. I just sat still and I felt like God had abandoned me, when in truth I had abandoned God. And so I started trusting God again. I got back in the Bible. I got back to trusting God, and I started to step out in faith and do things, and doors started opening up and the Lord started working. And and me being here is really a result of that whole process. So Mary is sitting in the house while Martha comes to Jesus, and Martha said unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." She said, "Lord, if you'd just come, we sent word to you, why didn't you come? My brother wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Martha said, "I believe in the resurrection. I know that there's coming a resurrection day. I know at the last day that he'll rise again." Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" You see, Martha did what a lot of us do, which is we trust in an event. She was trusting in the resurrection. And she trusted in Jesus, but in other words, when she said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now, whatsoever you say, it'll happen." She didn't really think Jesus was going to raise him from the dead. I don't know exactly what she thought. Maybe she hoped it, but she didn't really believe that it would happen, because when Jesus said, "Your brother will live again," she didn't say, "You're going to raise him from the dead." She said, "I know that he'll live again at the resurrection at the last day." And that's the way that many of us are, is we put our hope in an event happening. If this happens, then everything will be okay. And we pray for that event to happen. But look what Jesus says to her. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus says, it's not the resurrection at the last day that you need. It's me. It's me. It's not an event. It's Christ. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And there in that verse, we find out what it means to believe that Jesus is the Christ. By the way, the book of 1 John, which was quoted this morning, says, "Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." So if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. So how do we know that we're born again? We know that we're born again because people that are born again believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're not born again. If you're born again, you believe that Jesus is the Christ. By the way, 1 John, the Bible does not say that if you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, you will be born of God. It says that if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. So the evidence that you're born of God is that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and no unsaved person believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what does it mean to believe that Jesus is the Christ? Notice what she says. Or notice what the Lord says. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Do you believe, Martha, that I am the one who gives eternal life. Do you believe that if a person believes in me, that they will never die? Do you believe that a person who believes in me has eternal life? And she responds by saying, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." So believing that Jesus is the Christ, yes, it means believing he's the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead. But it means more than that. It means that you believe that you have eternal life because you believe in Jesus. Now, there's people all over the world that believe that Jesus died on the cross and hope they'll go to heaven because they do good works and because they get baptized and because they go to church and all those kind of things. That is not believing that Jesus is the Christ. Only a true believer in Christ, a born-again believer, believes and is certain that they will go to heaven because Jesus died for them and because they believe in him. It's that simple. And that's what we believe. Praise the Lord. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly. The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews, then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." So now we come to the fourth thing, Lazarus come forth, verses 37 through 44. And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" John Wesley said, "Could not this person, even if caused, that this man should not have died, yet they never dreamed that he could raise him again." What a strange mixture of faith and unbelief. They believed that Jesus could have healed him, but they didn't even think that he could raise him from the dead. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it, which is the way that Jews buried people. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." So, you notice that Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days, and Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. And once it passed 3 days, then the Jews, then the body would begin to decompose. And so she said, "Lord, he's decomposing. He stinks. We shouldn't open the thing." She didn't know what he was going to do, you know, but she advised against that. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Now that he said audibly so that they heard it. And then he says this privately. "And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. So he was wrapped up like a mummy, and he comes out of the tomb. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Now, in life, I've often found that God did not work things out the way that I would have liked. And this is not what they expected, nor before this happened, is it what they would have liked. They would have liked their brother to have been healed. They didn't want him to die. But I've always found that God worked things out better than I could have expected. And so God did something greater. Jesus did a greater work than healing Lazarus. He healed many people, but here he raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, some conclusions. I'm going through a trial in my life. Does God love me? That's a question a lot of us have asked. And the Bible says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. John 11:5. Does Jesus really care? John 11:35, Jesus wept. Yes, he does care. What if things don't work out the way I want them to? John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, I was talking to a guy, and I'll just say this in closing. I was talking to an inmate in the jail one time in Knox County, back when I was in Bible college, and or Anderson County, actually. We were in that jail. And he was all full of faith. He said, I've been saved. God's going to let me out of jail. I'm going to get out. I got court coming up. And so he came to service after service talking about how God was going to set him free. And then he went to court and they sent him back. So he lost his faith in God. And that's the way sometimes people are, because we think God's going to do a certain thing and we trust God for that thing. And it doesn't happen, and then we lose our faith. But instead of trusting God to do a certain thing, why don't we trust God to be God? And if we trust God to be God, then it may not work out the way we would like it to, but eventually He'll work it out better than we could have ever expected. Many people got saved because of this. Many people. That would have never been saved had Lazarus not died and been raised from the dead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray you would bless us. Pray you comfort us now. I pray if folks need to trust you in certain areas of their lives, I pray that they would trust you today and that you would work things out according to your will and for your glory. I pray that you would give us the help we need and the hope that we need. I do pray for Robbie as he raises support. I pray that you will bless him, give him safety on the road, and give him his support quickly to get to the field. And we pray if anyone here is not saved, that today would be the day they would believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ, and be born again and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand and sing a verse of amazing grace.